But first, we meet one of the scientists applying this scientific insight to Team GB, ensuring they take to the tracks, pools, water and more in peak condition over the next fortnight.
Hi, my name's Dr. Steve Ingham. I'm the head of physiology at the English Institute of Sport. As an applied sports scientist, it's our job to bridge fundamental research with the coach and athlete's day-to-day practice and training to try and individualise that physiological concept so that it can work for them, so that they can improve their physiological capabilities, run faster, be stronger and so on.
Is there any particular point, say, during an athlete's training or any particular part of a training programme that's really, I guess, been influenced by scientific input?
There's lots of ideas that make sense, but a coach might not like it. So you bring something new forward and it feels like innovation, feels like change. Probably a good example of that for us recently has been changing the warm-up just prior to a competition. Now, athletes and coaches are quite protected around that because they don't really want to go messing around with different types of fancy warm-ups. We've introduced a new high-intensity warm-up method across sports. But that's only really been possible through good scientific data, objective testing, and then showing the data to the athletes and coaches. Athletes and coaches suddenly clicked and twigged, yeah, I get this idea now, let's try it out in training, then progress that through to a minor competition and then into a big competition. See the performance data, and then that should speak for itself.
And so did it make a particularly big difference?
Well, a performance gain of about 1% difference to a runner, for example, that's 5 metres or so. It's a lot. They don't have to work particularly hard to achieve it, and it works in the right direction.
So I guess all of this knowledge and this scientific kind of input, how big a role does that play today, and should it play as big a role as it is?
If a coach or an athlete trains or prepares in a certain way that's based on just superstition or habit, that doesn't really cut it in this day and age. You've got to have good evidence as to why you're doing a certain thing. We've got to get smarter about improving our performance standards because other countries are, and they're benefiting from scientific input and reducing the probability that they're going to fail. Perhaps on the flip side, you could say maximising or optimising their chance at achieving. So I think it's great investment. Some of the discoveries and breakthroughs can also echo down to the scientific and exercise literature. Also, hopefully, it will lead to more success.
The athletes using these training and testing methods are certainly hoping these methods bring success.
Hi, I'm Katie Skelton. I'm 24 and I'm part of the Great Britain Synchronised Swimming Team. Synchronised swimming is like built up of many different things. For example, it's like dancing in the water, so you need to be able to sort of move to music well. You need to be very flexible, so we do a lot of stretching in that area. But you also need to be really fit and strong. So we work a lot in the gym, doing weights and a lot of fitness, so we do a lot of speed swimming, like swimming up and down. So there's loads of components to make you a good synchronised swimmer.
And what about, I guess, your actual knowledge of how your body works?
Physiology has helped us with learning about our body over the years. For example, we do the VO2 max test. This is really important because we need to be fit to be able to swim our routine. We also do lactate testing, which is really useful for us to do, like when we're training. They've also done it when we were at the Europeans, to see whether the intensity and the lactic acid is the same during training and competing, to see whether there's any difference. They've also done it on other teams as well, to see, you know, the variables within the different teams and different countries, looking at what level, you know, the winners to where we're ranked, to see what the difference is to help us improve.
And have you found that quite useful? So has it led to improvements in your performance?
Yes, because you realise like when is best to do sort of physical training, when is to go easier. They know when we're going to really build up lactic acid, and, you know, is the routine hard enough, because they will need to be able to reach a certain lactate point and stuff. So it's really helped us improve.
And also seeing a difference are the Team GB adaptive rowers.
Hi, my name is Pam Ralph and I'm in the Legs, Trunk and Arms Mix Cox 4. That's a boat with two men, two women and a cox, and we row over 1,000 metres. Rowing is an endurance sport, so I wouldn't say that I was the most powerful of athletes, but when it sort of gets hard, I just keep going. Long arms, long legs, and being quite tall, I think is probably the best physical traits that you need.
Do you work with physiologists to really get an insight into what's going on inside your body whilst you're training?
Yeah, so we get lactate tested during endurance training. We have testing called skinfold testing, which is essentially measuring how much body fat you have on your body. So, for example, if I was to put on weight, but my skinfold number was to go down, then that would mean that the weight I've put on has been muscle mass rather than fat, which is obviously good to have a lot more muscle if you want to be a professional athlete. Another test that we can do is a VO2 max test.
So there's really a lot tested. You're getting blood samples and so on out whilst you're rowing, but you're also tested in the lab.
Yeah, we're tested in the lab, and we're also tested when we're on camp to make sure that we're hydrated. We have to do urine tests every single morning to make sure that we're fully hydrated, and that's quite useful to see, because I think it's 1% drop in hydration equals a 5% drop in aerobic fitness or something along those lines. So I think that having information available to you in sport isn't necessarily essential. I think that if you do the training, your body's going to get fitter, but I think it really gives you an idea and an insight into what your body's capable of and what stresses you can put your body under before it breaks.
Pam Ralph, and before her, Victoria Skelton from Team GB, and before them, Steve Ingham, Head of Physiology at the English Institute of Sport. And you can hear more from them and other athletes and trainers by visiting the Physiological Society's Understanding Life website, where the uses of physiology and training are explored further. Online at understanding-life.org.
The Naked Scientists podcast is powered by UK Fast, the UK's best hosting provider. On the web at ukfast.co.uk.